If you open your Bibles with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. It sure is good to be together. It's been quite a week. Two Saturdays ago, I was in the house of feasting. A childhood friend of mine and former roommate was getting married to another faithful Christian, and it was such a blessing to be with God's people on that occasion and to rejoice in the blessing of marriage, to rejoice in God's people being together, to rejoice with those who rejoice. During this week, it was a very different kind of week, and a lot of it was spent traveling to be with people who were brokenhearted and hurting so deeply at the sudden loss of Wendy Smelser. But you know, it was good to be with God's family at that point too. And a lot of the same people actually that I saw at the wedding, I saw again at the funeral. And one of them made a comment to me. It was like, oh, the house of mourning and then the house of feasting. Or the house of feasting and then the house of mourning, you know. And you know, I really am grateful that we have God's family for both of those things. And we can rejoice with those who rejoice. And we can weep with those who weep. And it's good to be together. I'm grateful for this group of God's family that meets together. Well, we've come to the end of the year. And we've come to the end of our series in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And I sure hope that this series has encouraged you like it has encouraged me. And I hope it's challenged you like it's challenged me to think about what God wants us to be when it comes to unity and work in the body of Christ. I think I have retitled December's lesson three or four times this year as we've gone through the text, deciding what to conclude on, what to go with. If you've been watching this title slide, it has been changing kind of as the year has gone on. And some things have been inserted, some things have been taken out. But we've been kind of following this text in Ephesians 4 and talking about what the Lord wants from us. And the title I've settled on at last for this morning is The Proper Working of Each Part, which is from verse 16, the last verse of this text, and really transitions into the rest of chapters 4 and 5. But I want us to focus our minds this morning on, again, this picture of what the Lord wants his people to be and what he wants us to be individually in the body of Christ. And to think about the proper working of this part of the body. We're going to read our text once more, as we have done this year. Will you please read with me Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And it's that last verse that I want to focus on this morning. I hope that as we've studied this passage this year, that you can think back to the different things we've talked about as we read this text and think about it with deeper meaning. The proper working of each part, verse 16. As you look at that verse, how would you answer this question? How is the body joined and held, or your version might say knit together? I like that version of like knit together, because every thread in that fabric is doing what? It's like holding to all of the rest of it, so it's all one piece. But what does it say in that verse? That Christ is the one from whom all this is happening, and the body is being fitted and held together by what? Your version might say, I've got the New American Standard this morning, it might say, by what every joint supplies. And so it's kind of the idea of your body is made up of all of these parts, and there are these joints, and they're bringing something to the table. They're providing a service, they're serving a role that helps the body do what the body is supposed to do. Your version, the ESV, has that they're joined and knit together by every joint with which it is equipped, which is a little bit different rendering, but it's the same basic idea, right? Of it's the joints themselves that are holding the body together. The New American Standard kind of focuses more on the thing that the joint is providing, and the ESV focuses on that the joints are what is provided for the body to do what it's supposed to do. Both of those things are true, so whichever way you translate that, I think the NSB footnote says that literally means through every joint of the supply. It's kind of the literal rendering of that. So you can see it both ways. But you see the biblical image there? And I haven't thought about this a whole lot until studying for this lesson. Sometimes when we study passages like 1 Corinthians 12 or other places, we talk about like the eye and the hand and like the different body parts, right? This is talking about joints. What do joints do? What's the function of a joint in the body? I think it's interesting that joints are the things that really make all of the parts of the body able to do what they do. If your elbow, here's one of the main joints that you have, right? If your elbow was just like up and quit one day and was like, you know what, I'm out of this body, and it's like leaves, your hand is in trouble, you know, because the joint is what connects it to everybody else. And so there's this picture biblically of joints connecting people and doing things like this. And let me just say this. What does the body need to function? It needs every joint working, present, functioning, healthy. And that's what this passage is talking about, where it says the body is held together and fitted together by what some of the important joints supply. Wait, is that what it said? It said it is joined and held together by what every joint supplies. If we're going to work together in the body of Christ, we need all hands on deck. We need every member of this body to be engaged in what the body is supposed to be doing. In Colossians 2, verse 19, this is the parallel passage in Colossians, it says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. I think another thing that Colossians adds to this is it's interesting that joints also are kind of what you might call a door of nourishment to other parts of the body. And this is why, like, your leg falls asleep, right? Is when, like, circulation gets cut off to that extremity of your body. It doesn't have, like, all that it needs, and it's like, ugh, it feels bad, so that you get the nourishment to different parts that it needs. And so this idea of joints, I want us to think about this in the body of Christ this morning, is that the joints they're both serving a function. They're connecting different parts of our body so the body can move and be mobile and do what the body needs to do. And they're serving kind of as a door for nourishment to other parts of the body so they can live and grow and, again, do what they're supposed to do. And that's this analogy that's used for us. What every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. You guys might remember this chart from, I think it was October's lesson, about equipping the saints for service. And you remember that we talked about a lot of times the model is that, like, in a local congregation, there's a bunch of members, and they get together, and they all kind of put their money in the plate or do what they do so that these guys can go out and do, you know, the evangelizing and stuff like that. And we talked about the different models. And Ephesians 4 is really focused on this part of the model, that the gifts that God has given in the church of these different teaching roles are to equip the saints for the work of service. So these guys go out, and these guys go out, and this is how the body is working and functioning. So all these arrows and things, we kind of talked about that part of Ephesians 4 back in verses 11 and 12. Today, I want to kind of take this and just put everybody together and kind of try to visualize how this works and how this looks when every joint is doing its job. So let's just take one of these joints, one of these pieces of the body of Christ. And there's going to be sometimes in the body where we look out and we see that there's a need, whether it's a need for teaching, whether it's a need for listening, whether it's a need just for some physical service of driving somebody around or whatever it is. And so you're going to look out and there's going to be different ones of the body that you're able to help. Now, if you think about this for a minute, and you have a body of any sizable nature like this one, and you look out and you think about all of the needs in this room right now, and you think, okay, I've got to go and take care of every single need. I mean, it's like, there's no way. There's no way that one person, one part of the body, can give every single part of the body exactly what it needs. It's overwhelming. But there are certain parts of the body, and you think about this with joints too. It's like, this joint doesn't have to be all of my joints. It just connects like this part of my arm to this part of my arm. And if my shoulder wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, then we'd both be in trouble. You know. And so I've got to figure out what parts of the body can I really help? And think about where can I serve and connect people within my little realm within the body. And it may be that you need to think bigger than you've been thinking about the part of the body that you're in. A lot of times we limit ourselves and we think, well, kind of as long as I'm helping like this one person out over here, then I'm fine. But we need to think about, man, how many needs are there? How many of those can I meet? Where can I be helpful? Because we need multiple people in multiple situations. Now, also with that, in a local group, there may be somebody that you're helping, but man, they're really helping you too. And iron is sharpening iron, as the proverb says. And there's this mutual building up. At the end of the verse talks about the body's building itself up in love. And so we need relationships like that. If we're just giving and just giving and just giving, we can get burnt out in that. We need nourishment. We need help from other people. So those relationships are important as well. And again, we're not going to necessarily have that relationship with every member in the body, but we need that relationship with some members in the body. And on the flip side of things, there may be some people that I really need to learn from. And I need to think about getting equipped. And I'm going to use this word this morning. I want you to understand it. It's like mentoring. I think we shy away from that idea sometimes in the church because we've seen it misused in things like discipling movements and cult movements where like you're kind of assigned to this one person and they kind of like rule over your life and make all your decisions for you. And it can be taken to an extreme. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about mentoring. I think this is a very biblical concept that sometimes we overlook and don't think a lot about, but older Christians are to be teaching younger Christians. Older women teaching younger women. Older men teaching younger men. And there's supposed to be this kind of ongoing internal mentoring in the body of Christ that helps us to be what God wants us to be. And so as we're thinking about our role in the body, kind of like the elbow is helping the hand, but it needs the shoulder to do what it's doing, we've got to figure out how to do this in the body. And this is something that I need to think about personally, and I've been thinking about in preparing this lesson, is like, who are my mentors? Who are the people that I am looking to try to help me do what I need to do in the body? And all of us need to think about that. Sometimes that's a lot more humbling, though, isn't it? We sometimes really want to be the people who are helping other people, and because we're kind of the one like, oh, here, let me help you. But brethren, we need help, too. And we really need to think about that, and where we need help, and reach out when we need help. Okay, so those are some of the examples, but in a local congregation, it looks something like this, right? You know, there's all sorts of people. They're helping the people in their corner that they have maybe a particular opportunity with, and the whole body is all connected. But do you see a problem? What's the problem in this diagram? Oh, I didn't see. There's somebody over there in the corner, and what's happened? They're with the body, but they're not really. They're kind of like this joint, just like floating off in space, and they're not connected to the body. That ever happen? Unfortunately, it does, doesn't it? And sometimes we see it. Sometimes we feel like we're the one out here. And so what needs to happen when this happens and there's a part of the body that's just not getting what they need? A couple of things need to happen. One is this needs to happen. Somebody in here, and sometimes we're so busy with all of our other things and helping lots of other people, but one person needs to be like, hey, wait a minute. They need somebody. They're not very connected to the body. I need to go and be the joint there and connect them in with the body. And you know, sometimes when one person will do that, guess what else is going to happen? They bring somebody else with them. Get them connected with the body. I think about what Barnabas did for Saul, you know, when he was there at the church at Jerusalem, and like, he was kind of the one on the outside. And of course, they had pretty good reason at that point to not trust him. But Barnabas was the one, wasn't he? That he went and he was the joint. As he got Paul and then he brought him in. And then when the work started at Antioch and they started preaching to Gentiles and stuff, who went and got Saul? Barnabas is like, man, you know what this church needs? We need Saul in here doing work. And so he went up to Tarsus and he brought Saul in. And isn't that a beautiful thing when you can see a need, you see somebody, and then you go and you help them yourself, but then you also get them involved and you bring them in, and then the body is even better equipped to do what it needs to do. So let me also say this for just a minute. Because if we are the person out here, lots of times how do we feel? Well, nobody is reaching out to me. Nobody's helping me. Nobody's doing that. That should be happening. But you know what? Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it's an accident. But it's a reality. What should happen in that circumstance? What about this? If you're the one who feels like you're on the outside, and you know you need encouragement, you might need to be the one to do the reaching out and to connect back in to the body. And maybe there's one, or maybe there's more people that you can do this with. And when both parts are conscious of the need on the other side, then you'll start developing relationships like this. And you will start getting the things that you need. But you may have to reach out. And it may be that you are the one reaching out to somebody else in the body, even though you feel kind of like you're on the outside. But when we're looking out for one another, this is we're going to get connected to be the body that we need to be. So whether you're the person in here who's got a few different connections, or whether you've got all kinds of connections going on, or whether you're out here, be the joints. Reach out. Think about this. Think about a couple of questions, just as we think about you in the body this morning. Who needs help? And that question is huge, isn't it? I mean, there's just like so many needs. But think about that. Who needs help? What needs are you aware of? Read the prayer list if you're having a hard time. So you see these different ones. Okay, here's a couple people who need help. Now, here's the second question. Who can I reach out to? And it may be in some situations you're not the best one to do the reaching out, and you get somebody else to help with that. But everybody can reach out to somebody. So, okay, here, this one is one I can reach out to. I can't meet every need, but I can meet this one. Now, some of you may have heard that analogy, that story. I don't know if it was true or not, but that there was a little kid walking along on the seashore, and like all these starfish had washed up on the shore, and you know they're going to die if they're just like left out in the sun to bake. And so the kid's going along on the shore, and there's just like a million starfish on the shore, and they're picking them up and they're throwing them back in the sea, and picking one up and throwing them back in the sea. And this adult comes along to the kid, and it's like, "What are you doing? Like, you can't possibly save all of these starfish. Like, what difference is it going to make?" And then he goes, "Well, it made a difference to that one, and it made a difference to that one." And that's, isn't that the way we feel sometimes? But we just got to keep helping where we can help. And if we keep taking those steps every day, we'll be able to do. God will help us. He'll take our 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are these for so many? And he can multiply and help us be sufficient. Here's the other question. So who can I reach out to? And who can I look to for guidance? That's a really important question, because, again, if we're just going outward, we need people to help us inwardly, whether it's with a specific situation or just in general, like just to have somebody that you look up to. And let me say that guidance doesn't always mean that you like get coffee once a week and you're like spilling your guts all the time. But in general, people that you just look up to, that you think, that's the kind of Christian I want to be when I'm in their position one day. And just thinking about that and hopefully talking with them about that, how did you get to be where you are, and how do you deal with these situations? I'm struggling with this or with that. We need to be the kind of community of God's people where you can feel good about reaching out for guidance and for help. We got good examples. And we need to build mutual relationships where you're helping them and they're helping you. And I think you'll find when you reach out to people and when you get guidance that this does end up happening in almost every one of those relationships, doesn't it? Sometimes it's when we're reaching out that we receive the most. So many times, you go to visit somebody who's sick, you go to help a family who's grieving, and you come away like, wow, I was just so blessed to see their faith, to see their endurance, to see what they're doing. And they might not even know how much it affected you. But that's the kind of thing that happens when we're aware of needs and we're just doing what we can. We get built up in the ways we need. So let's think about this. That's the big picture, but let's focus on one individual part. And this is going to be really general this morning, but as we think about the proper working of each individual part, we need to look right here first. Because again, all these lessons, it's so easy to be like, yeah, church, listen up, you know? But it's got to start right here. So the proper working, what is required for the proper working of each part, each joint? Well, first, we've got to listen to the head. We've got to listen to the head. That's the whole body analogy, right? The whole thing breaks down when you cut off the head. And that's a real problem, isn't it? It's like lots of people who love and want to do good and help people, but they're not getting their instructions from the head. And when your body has that, when like your nerves start to not work right and stuff and you're not getting the right messages, the body is just going to be a mess. You might have good intentions, but man, like, we've got to listen to the head. So how do we do that? But through what we've been talking about, through God's Word. Ephesians 3, Ephesians 4, the apostles and prophets. We've got to be people who are constantly nourished on the Word of God and then be a door for that nourishment to other people, like joints do, right? They're helped, but then they're the kind of the waypoint for nourishment to get to other parts of the body. Now, let me say this just as a side note. We're coming up on a new year. And some of you might like to do those Bible reading plans, and like you might be thinking about that. I'm curious to see, and you can let me know after the lesson this morning, if there's any interest in doing kind of a group reading plan for this year, because I'm really bad, honestly, about finishing a reading. And it really helps when you have other people to do that with. So if there are those of you who are interested in doing, and again, it wouldn't be a required thing, obviously, but just if there are people in this family here who want to do that together, talk with me afterwards and we might can organize that and get a plan together and find a helpful way to do that. So that we can be doing this, listening to the head, receiving from him what we need. And it's not a one-way relationship. We need to be people who are constantly in prayer to the Lord. For you to function as you ought, you need to be in constant prayer. I mean, Paul himself is going to say in Ephesians chapter 6, right? Constantly praying at all times. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now think about that for just a minute. When we are constantly praying to God, what's one of the things we're going to be praying about? Other people. This is one of the biggest benefits of keeping a prayer list, by the way. Whether it's the one in the bulletin, or whether it's your own personal prayer list, is when you go down, you're like, oh, wow, like I had forgotten about that situation. Like, I need to do something about that. Like, sometimes I come out of my prayer list time with, like, way more to do, you know, because it's like, oh, man, like, there are all these people that need help, that need encouraging, and I wasn't thinking about it until I started praying about it. And that's what Paul says there in Ephesians 6, that you're praying and you're on the alert in prayer. You're looking out for one another in prayer for all the saints. So that's one way that we can be a better joint, is as we're praying to God, it connects us with God, of course, as we're pouring all these things out to Him, the one who can really help, and we're being mindful and alert of one another. So, another really important piece of this, and I think this is really what Paul's been leading up to in verse 16, is right after he finishes this section on what the church is supposed to be, the very next thing he's going to say, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. And then he goes into this whole 2-chapter-long, really the rest of the book, section of how you're supposed to live right. And brethren, we really need to be careful about this, because we should be reaching out, we should be helping people. But examine yourself. Be on guard in your heart. Keep your heart and your life pure, because we're not ultimately going to be able to help one another in the ways we really need if we're not working on ourselves first. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to reach out, but man, so many times we get thinking, oh, I'm helping everybody else, and we just let our own life go to waste. Isn't that what Jesus taught about, you know? Hey, you've got a speck in your eye over there. And he says, before you reach out to help with a speck, get the log out of your own eye. So, a pure heart, a pure life. And of course, this is what he talks about, being imitators of God in 5:1. So then, mentorship. Thinking about this idea of who can I find that can help equip me. Back in verses 11 and 12, that was the picture, wasn't it? God has given these gifts to the church, the different people that are these roles, so that they can give and help. And I'm not saying that your mentor has to be one of the public leadership roles described here, but there are other gifts that God has given the body. There are other people, older, wiser Christians, who can help in your situation. Think about who those people are and choose them very carefully so that you can get the help that you need. With correction, encouragement, and accountability, we need these give-and-take relationships, don't we? That we're helping other people, and they're also checking on us. They're also helping us. If the body doesn't correct itself, we're just going to keep going down the wrong road. If we're plugged into the head, we should be able to help correct one another in these types of relationships. We need encouragement and correction. Any relationship that doesn't involve both of those can be kind of a problem. It's good to encourage one another and help one another, and you can do it and keep going and all that. But if that's all we do in those relationships, that can be a problem. And on the flip side, if all we ever do is pick at each other and say, you really need to do this, and it might be true, but if that's all we do to each other, that's a problem too. So we need this to go both ways to build up the body as it should be. And we need to serve selflessly. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And He is our model in all of this. Who can I help? I can't help all of them, but make a difference to that one and that one. Find where you can help. And then with all of this, there's another step, isn't there? We need to share the good news. We have a mission as the body of Christ to be telling people about this wonderful Christ, this Messiah that we've been given, and the family that He has made of rotten, wicked people that He's working on and bringing into His family. And it's not a perfect place here, but we need to be sharing the good news about what Christ is doing in our lives and in the world. And this is a part of what we need to be encouraging one another to do. When Jesus sent them out, he didn't send them out by themselves. And this is, again, one of the things that as we're thinking about needs within the body, and as the body becomes more and more what it should be, it's then going to be reaching out, bringing more people into that body that need a lot of help and need encouragement and equipping, and they got their life is a mess too, you know? And we're helping each other to be what the Lord wants us to be. There's a ton of other things I could put up on that list, but as you think about the proper working of each part, I think these are some of the essential things. So ask yourself a question. I mean, we're at the end of the year. It's time for self-evaluation a lot of the time, right? Where do I need to grow? How can I be a better part of the body? Maybe you're doing well in some of these areas. Praise God. You know what? There's some other people who need to grow in those areas. Maybe you can help what's helped for you. Maybe you're really failing in some of these areas, and you need to reach out and get some help from people that are doing better than you. And, of course, help from the Lord through his word. Think about that this morning. I hope you can take that home with you and reflect on that and pray about these things today. Which brings us to the closing line of this whole section. According to the proper working of each individual part, what does it cause? It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And that really is the thing that makes all this work, isn't it? Is that God has first loved us so that we can get to work. That's what makes all of this work. And I don't know if there's a better illustration, but the building up of itself in love. I mean, this is what it looks like. It's individuals loving others as God has first loved them and gave himself for them. In our families, in the church, and out in the world. May we be conduits, may we be vessels of God's love, so that the body will be all that the Lord wants it to be. Let's do this. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, our God, you are sufficient for all things. Our creator, our sustainer, the one who has called us with such a high calling. Good Father, help us to walk worthy of the calling. To show humility and gentleness and patience with one another. Help us to be diligent to preserve the unity of your spirit and the bond of peace. Thank you for the one body, the one spirit, the one hope, the one Lord, the one faith, one baptism, and you, our one God and Father who is over all. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to your people. Thank you for the teaching that we have through your word and through those that bring it. And may we, Lord, be equipped to serve as you have served us. Father, help us to grow up, to no longer be children, but to think on how we may mature and to look more and more like Christ in everything that we do. Father, help us to speak the truth in love to everyone that we know. Help us to cling to Christ and to be built up in him and to be on the alert so that we can be a better joint within the body, that we may help the body hold together and be better knit together so that we might do your work. Lord, humble us to seek help when we need it. Open our eyes to see pressing needs, to seek for those who may be alone. Help us, Lord, to reach out when we feel alone. And all these things, Lord, help us to love as you have first loved us. We're so grateful for the pattern you've given and pray for the grace to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to extend the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you're not a part of the body of Christ, we're going to sing a song in just a moment and you can make that known. If there's something that you need to make right with the Lord, he's so willing and anxious to forgive you if you are willing to repent and to really live for him. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been on the outskirts of the body, or you just need encouragement, you need help, and you want the help of God's people in that. If there's any way that we can pray for you and help you to be right with God and to work properly as an individual part, let us know while we stand and sing this song.